So I'm so glad that I don't have to compete with Maureen because I'll probably lose. But certainly I want to speak today or move us on or sort of go to a couple of areas, but I want to start with what is a Christian? And a Christian for me equals having a pioneering heart. I think there's a big difference between settlers and pioneers. And God calls us to be a pioneering people. Because in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it was when the Christians or the believers were first called Christians, was in Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And the reason they were called Christians, it's the first time they were called Christians. We ought to be or move from being believers to Christians. And so we believe in the things that Maureen had spoken. That's our belief system because it helps our behavior. But then we ought to live like Christians. And in Acts chapter 11 and Acts chapter 10, you can read a whole story of that. After they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking in other languages, and they were speaking the word of God boldly, and they were witnesses. It then says they did a couple of things. That every believer shared the gospel with someone else. Now, what actually happened in Acts chapter 1, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came on them so that they could be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. But what happened? The church became settlers. They started looking inward instead of going to where God told them to go, to be pioneers in the things that God wanted every believer. So what happened? A persecution came and they were scattered. And when they were scattered, every believer then got involved in living this Christian life of pioneering and making much about Jesus. Not only knowing Jesus, because from knowing Jesus, it has to, and knowing Jesus is a great commandment of love God, love each other, and love yourself. You can't love others if you don't love yourself. There's got to be an element of loving yourself so that we can love others. And so this happened in Acts chapter 8, but the church got inward. And I call it navel gazing. Sort of, you know, and actually what should happen is when we Holy Spirit comes upon us, we will be witnesses where? Neighboring cities, Canada, North America, South Africa, Africa. And I just want to send greetings to you all from Cassandra. She is doing exceptionally, exceptionally well. And this coming Sunday, she's baptizing a fifth person, having led them to the Lord, and she gets to baptize them in water and prayerfully with the Holy Spirit as well. But what happened to from a believer to a Christian is they were sharing the gospel. That was one of the points, and sharing the good news of the kingdom of God. And I want to look just now at Jesus' ministry, because Maureen said one of the scriptures, if we really believe in the resurrection power of Jesus, we will do what he did, right? And he says more. Are we living there? We ought to be. The second thing that they did, they operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When last have we had tongues and interpretation in a corporate gathering? Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, power of God for healing. You see, as Christians, not believers, because believers set us on a path, but Christians, we do what Christ did. And we become disciples of Christ. And we make other disciples. Is the gifts of the Holy Spirit were in operation. And then the third thing that happened, everyone had a Christ-like heart and conduct. Conduct's a very big thing. And I know the grace message is don't go too much into conduct. Actually, conduct counts. Because the world out there sees Christ in us. And sometimes they hear from our mouths about Jesus. But the first thing people see out in the world is, how do we live? How do we conduct ourselves as Christians? Then you see also in Acts chapter 11 that the Lord was with them. Why? Maureen, second point, they were manifesting the resurrection power of God through signs, miracles, and wonders and salvations. Because it says many were saved by the message of the kingdom of God and the good news that comes from heaven. I honestly, as we travel around the world, there's two things that I think almost stops us in our Christian walk, or two maybe attacks of the enemy, is we've separated secular and spiritual. Where for a Christian, everything is spiritual. Even the work that you work is spiritual. Because God says in Colossians and Ephesians and various places in the Bible that we do our work as though unto the Lord. So it's spiritual. And so we've made out there in the world secular, and in the church you're spiritual. No, we're spiritual all the time. And we represent and represent Christ everywhere all the time. It's spiritual we live in. And I think this distinction between secular and spiritual is so harmful to the essence of the gospel message and being Christian. And the second one is this clergy-laity distinction. Where when Jesus died on the cross, it says that the curtain was torn. Right? And the Levitical and Aaronical priesthood was abolished. That doesn't mean we don't have elders and deacons, because they're going to have a look at it. Or the fivefold ministry gifts. We all have different roles. But we all, every single person here today, has access to the Father's throne on your own, and not through a priest and not through somebody else. It's your privilege to sit on God's lap. It's your privilege to go to God. It's your privilege to encounter God. And unfortunately, this distinction is creeping back into the church, that to get to God, you've got to go through your pastor, or through an apostle, or through a teacher, or through a fivefold ministry gift. It ought not to be, brothers. It is our job to help you find God for yourself, and to make godly decisions on your own. Because as the world goes, there might even become a time where we cannot even have church, a gathering like we do. And we've got to be and create maturity in Christians so they can hear and make godly decisions for themselves. There's only one great shepherd, and his name is Jesus. But unfortunately, this distinction comes in of clergy laity, that you cannot think for yourself. You need to go to your clergy so they can think for you. And actually, we got to think for ourselves. Now, for all those who have an authority problem, I'm not saying don't submit to authority. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying part of our job is to help you think for yourself and hear God for yourself and make godly decisions for yourself. That's where the maturity comes in. Because if we're all hearing God, there will be unity in the church. Because the Holy Spirit is not a spirit of division. He brings unity. And when we're all hearing God, and we can hear God for ourselves, and we got visions and we got strategies from the Holy Spirit, it'll add value to the local church God's committed you in and to be with. Because He's not a spirit of division. And He'll bring unity of vision, unity of strategies, unity of resources, unity of talents, abilities. Like the temple and the tabernacle of the old, eventually Moses had to turn around, and even Solomon had to say, don't bring more stuff because we got more than enough. I think as believers, we have enough. But as Christians, we live with more than enough. It's our choice where we want to live. Moses brought people through to the Jordan River, and they just had enough. Just had enough clothes for 40 years, just enough shoes for 40 years, just enough to live for 40 years. When you cross the Jordan and you live by faith and being led by the Holy Spirit, you live in a life with more than enough. And we ought to be the Christians that live with more than enough. Not only believers of the finished work and that of Christ. Now we put our faith in the more than enough. In a God that's abundant. And you live life in abundance is a promise of God. Not prosperity gospel. Truth. Truth. Clergy-laity distinction is a very big one. Psalm 84, verse 5. It said, blessed are those whose strength is in the Lord, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. And that's where I want to take us on a journey in these two sessions, to look at how we end off as a local church, being a base church that has kingdom at heart. Because I think much of the church exists for the church. And the church should exist for the kingdom. And what I mean by that is that everything that happens from the church, the glory comes to the church instead of the glory should go to Jesus, the King of the kingdom. And when you start having a revelation, and I know this church does have it, of the kingdom of God, then the church will operate. Because Ephesians 3:10 says, for the manifold wisdom of God will be released to principalities, to powers. How? Through the church. It's a kingdom view. It's a kingdom vision. So the church doesn't control anything. Because Jesus is building the church, right? But we hold loosely the activities of the kingdom. Because the kingdom is what we advance and Jesus builds a church. How many of you want to advance the kingdom? Or be part of being a people of pilgrimage, advancing the kingdom? As a local church, I do believe we have to have a heart for our communities and the cultures around us. In our communities, there's many cultures. And we need to have a heart for that. And we should have a heart for nations and places God has still got to open up to you. When I think of Brenna and Leilani, and I think of Cassandra, and I think of how you've released people to those places, it becomes your inheritance as a local church. And it's not going to stop there. I see church planters coming out of this the Rock Church. And church planting is still on the heart of God. Very, very much. Church planting. I think when you have a heart, you know, you can get into missions and you can get into all of those things and think you're a pioneer. But if your heart's not in it, it becomes a job. That's why the scripture says that whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Again, it's what you think and it's what is in the heart that will make it successful. Living in the balance of both the neighbors and the nations is the Christian work. And we're not no longer just believers. We are Christians doing what Jesus did and what Paul did. And what they commissioned us to do. Now, I'm going to go into that. Pioneer, you will, as a pioneer, you'll know the right balance. Where you won't neglect your neighbors, you won't neglect your local church, and you won't neglect where God opens the doors for. Both become very important. And you will know how to balance your life around that. Your children, your work, and all of that. God will do that because that's his strategy right from the book of Genesis. And even Abraham's call, you will be a blessing to what? To your family and to the nations. And then Galatians, it takes it all the way through. We ought still to our families and to the nations that God opens up to us. We to be a blessing. I think in essence, it's like when you're on a treadmill, and one of us here doesn't go on a treadmill, she runs on the road, Starla. But, you know, you have a, and Christina, I see you run as well, right? Oh, not, okay. But anyhow, there's a treadmill and versus the road. On a treadmill, you're moving, but you're not going anywhere. But on the road, you know, it takes you somewhere. And if you stay on a treadmill of Christianity, it becomes boring, it becomes frustrating, and it becomes unfruitful if you running, but getting nowhere. And we got to get on the road with the Lord and have a heart of pilgrimage so that we get off the treadmill and we run the race that Jesus has planned for us. So what I want to try and help us with in the first session, or this session, and it might overlap a little, is to look at Jesus and Paul's ministry. Because that is where we get, it's equipping time, right? It's not like a preach. Equipping us so that we run the race on the road and not on the treadmill. We look at Jesus and Paul's life. Then I want to look at God's riverbanks for us to run on the road, walking out our pioneering heart and what that looks like. And then, if there's time, we'll look at what a base church, or what the church should look like, and what are the ingredients of a church that's walking out a Christian walk based on the belief system of Christ and Christ alone, that we walk that out. So let's look at Jesus' ministry. And we'll turn to Mark chapter 4 and verse 17. Oh, where are my glasses? For those of you that are 60 plus, if you've got to wear glasses, sort your pride out and wear them if you read. Unless God wants to give you the reading without the glasses. Matthew chapter 4. And we'll pick up on verse 12. No, Matthew. No, I would never do that, Christina. I'm sure you didn't hear right, Christina. No, I'm sure you did. No, it's Matthew, love. Matthew. No, I don't think. Replay the tape. We're in Matthew, love. Because that's where it started, right? Don't you know your Bible, my girl? Shoo. I'll have to teach you again, because I taught you so well that you preached well. I'm going to have Jessica down my throat just now, so I better be careful. Eh? Leaving Nazareth, in verse 13, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew from Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Part of having a heart of pilgrimage is there's dark places and dark people. And I'm not talking color, I'm talking dark in terms of their lives. That we need to go and shine the light of Jesus. And from that time, Jesus began to preach. And what was the message he preached? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come to you. Nazareth is where he was. He had to leave it. And he had to form a new base and start a new thing. That's why church planting is still so important. We need to be planting churches. And why was it strategic to plant there? Because it was on the trade route. And you can go to the maps. The maps at the end of your Bible is very important because it was on the trade route so the gospel could get to Asia and many, many other places. Because why? God is interested in the nations of the earth. And he started a base there. The message was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then we read from verse 23 of Matthew chapter 4 for Maureen's benefit. Baby, I love you. Okay, 23. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Friends, how many people do we proclaim the good news of the kingdom to? Healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread to Syria. And the people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures and paralyzed, and healed them. Large crowds came from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan. What does that say to you? God is interested in our neighborhoods. God is interested in those next to our neighborhoods. God is interested in the rest of Canada, North America, and your prayers for Donald Trump. No, it's not a joke, right? Okay. For Donald Trump, for America. And then he's also saying, and at the known time of that time, across the Jordan was across the seas. That is the message of the kingdom right from day one. What did he teach? The good news of the kingdom. Where did he teach? Wherever he could find a place. It so happened to be the synagogues. In the country next door, into the region across the Jordan, which was to the ends of the earth. And then Jesus' ministry goes on. And let's read in Matthew chapter 9. And let's pick up on verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Then verse 10. Chapter 10 of Matthew, verse 7 and 8. As you go, who goes? He sent out the 12, right? Have you ever thought of the 12? That they had been with Jesus about a year and a half when he sent them out. How many of us have been Christians for years and years? And we've never gone out to proclaim the gospel and to tell people or show people about Jesus. Sometimes we wait for a maturity to come. But I want to tell you that Ephesians 4:11 is the gifting, the mentors. 12 is for ministry. Verse 12. For what? Unity and maturity to come. But we always wait for maturity and unity and a whole lot of other stuff. Where God put things in our heart so we can minister out of the place of knowing Christ. If we know Christ, we've got something to say. And we've got something to show. We don't have to go through courses. We don't have to, pray 1,000 prayers before we can be used of God. These disciples were about a year and a half just walking with Jesus. Many people will want to know, were they saved? Were they not? I don't know. I think they walked with Jesus. We have got something to say, friends. And we have got something to show. Right from the beginning, verse 7 and 8. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with leprosy, which means those that are in sin. drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Oh. Why have we made it so difficult? And why have we become settlers where God's given us a heart to be pioneers and tell people about Jesus? Show people about Jesus. No, we're politically correct. No, being kingdom is politically correct. And we can't let the state of our cultures determine whether we can be kingdom or whether we can't. We to be kingdom and then respect and honor the cultures around us. But we need to be kingdom in these things. And Jesus did that. And how many of you have freely received Christ? How many of us are actually freely giving? The less hands, right? It ought not to be so. It ought not to be so. Then we look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Christina and Maureen. Hey, lovey. I'm going to go grave digging if you carry on like that. Pull out anger. Luke chapter 10 verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72. He had sent out the 12, and now he's sending out 72, right? And sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. For me, you want to open something in pioneering heart is to put your foot in where you want Jesus to be seen. It means go pray somewhere. Go pray where you want God to open the doors for you to pioneer and have a pioneering heart. Because if we use our own mental strategies and our own power, it's not going to last. But if we go because Jesus is going to get there, what do we have to do? We got to go open it in prayer. So if you got new areas, if you got new places God wants you to go, put your foot in there. The intercessors, those who pray, those who know how to break things open, the prophetic, get in those places so that when Christ is presented, it is so much easier for those presenting Christ. Put your foot in. Go have a look. They went ahead of Jesus because Jesus was coming. We need to sometimes go ahead, prepare the way for where Jesus just comes and is manifested in his glory and grace. Verse 8, when you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you. Africa sometimes, I never look into a pot, but I eat everything they put in front of me. Because my culture, you don't eat some of the, you know, I've looked in a pot there and there was a monkey's head in the pot. And I had to eat it. Because the Bible says, eat what's put in front of you, right? It's in your Bible. Do you want to read it for us? You read it. Read that scripture. When you enter a home, eat what's put in front of you. Heal the sick. Because after eating some of this stuff, you might, heal the sick. You are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. This is Jesus demonstrating and preaching. Then verse 17. The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to your name. You see, it's only when you start stepping out that you see the power of God. You know, so many people says we don't see miracles in church. We don't see that. Well, it's because you're trying to keep the miracles in the four walls. When Jesus thing is when we go out there, you start seeing miracle signs and wonders. Incredible grace and the goodness of God when we are pilgrims and we have a heart of pilgrimage. Because then we have compassion and a heart for the lost. And for those who need Christ. And their miracles and signs and wonders are a result. It's not that we won't see them in the church. But actually, when we start moving and we're not on the treadmill, we'll start seeing it as an act of normal Christian life. And when there's not miracles, we will complain. But a normal Christian life, we should be seeing and experiencing salvations. And then let's go to Luke chapter 24. I'm taking us on a journey, right? Luke chapter 24, verse 45. Unapologetically reading a lot of scripture. It says, then he opened the minds so that they could understand the scriptures. And my heart and Maureen's heart this morning was, may our minds be open to understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Verse 45 of Luke 45. Oma. I'll just pray for healing in these ears in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are you hearing? Oh, I'm in trouble. I'm going to have a talking to you in the room at home, is it? So, beginning at Jerusalem, beginning in this house, beginning in the rock, forgiveness. And the preaching of his name. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But you stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. You see, Jesus then not only sends the 12, not only the 72, he sends the church to the nations of the earth. And he sends us to minister to all nations. And all nations start in your communities. All nations start in the rock. It starts in Terrace and then goes to the regions beyond. But faithful with little, right? Luke 16:10. And God will add, and you'll be faithful with much. Got to start loving our communities, loving our cultures, in our home, where we are, in our Jerusalem, in Terrace, and then regions beyond that God will open up. Let me skip some of this. And then you look at the early church's commission. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Isn't this a wonderful journey? But you know, what I often get amazed with is Jesus did all of this, and we to do what Jesus did. So we not without example. Jesus has done it. We're just doing what he did. And then it goes to Acts chapter 1, verse 4. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave thanks. And he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Matthew talks about the Holy Spirit and fire. My prayer is that we'd get the fire of God in the next couple of days or the time that we, yeah. And if you have the fire of God, it'll be more. The passion. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. How did Jesus start his ministry? He left Nazareth, Galilee, Syria, and across the Jordan, which was his uttermost parts of the earth. What is our commission? When the Holy Spirit, how many of you have the Holy Spirit on you? How many of us are walking as witnesses in our Jerusalem, in our Judea, in our Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth? Because surely, if the Holy Spirit's on us, we will fulfill the commission Jesus did, which I've just taken us through. Surely, surely. we will have a heart for that. The power to witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then Paul's ministry goes on. And then there's an apostolic journey that Paul does, and he does a couple of journeys. And then Paul follows Jesus' ministry as an example for us. So let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Is it right reading all these scriptures? It's an equipping time. Verse 19 and 20. So then King Agrippa, and Paul was being interrogated and a whole lot of stuff. And he says, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. And my prayer is that none of us will be disobedient to the vision from heaven, which is to know Jesus and to make him known. We cannot just live in the place of knowing Jesus and not making him known. That's where the scripture takes us. And Jesus showed us how to do it. And yeah, Paul says the same thing. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by good deeds and living for Christ. See, Paul's vision was from heaven. What is our vision? Our vision is from heaven. And what is our vision from heaven? Every believer who's now a Christian, what is our vision? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. To do what? To preach the gospel of good news, healing the sick, setting people free from their sin, and presenting Christ and making him known. And then when you look again at the back of your Bibles, it gives you Paul's missionary journeys. And it's actually exciting to go into that. That's why they're there. They're not there for no reason. They're there for a reason. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4. Vision from heaven. How many of you want the vision from heaven today? Just afresh. And you know, Paul said, I tell you again and again. And I know you've all heard this, but are we walking in it? Are we fulfilling the vision from heaven? Now, I know it's part of the mission and the vision of the Rock. But how are we doing in it? Not condemnation on anybody today, but just the Holy Spirit come again and refresh the vision from heaven in our hearts. And I want you to, as I read the scripture, I want you to have a look at how many times we, our, us. It's never us doing it alone. It's always together. The whole church being involved in the vision from heaven to preach a gospel of good news wherever God opens the doors. Verse 4, for we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. You know how we lived among you, for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering and with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. So friends, in suffering, we can still have the joy of the Holy Spirit, right? Don't let suffering overtake the joy that the Holy Spirit brings. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Everywhere. Kingdom. The church is there to advance the kingdom. Let's read one more scripture, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10. Hope the journey is exciting for you. You know, what the church does is they put it on a few chosen frozen. And actually, this is for every single believer. Imagine every believer touching Terrace and the regions around Terrace. Every believer who's become a Christian, sharing the gospel, operating in the gifts of the Spirit. You're out somewhere and you see a crippled person. Silver and gold I don't have, but yeah, be healed. Imagine this community changing from the Rock Church. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves. I find this difficult to read because it is so true. Verse 12, love. I prayed for healing. Must I come again? Do you want to hear properly? Okay, I'll move on. We do not dare to classify or compare ourselves with some who commend themselves. Do you know how people commend themselves? I think some people like to hear the sound of their own voice. Stoller, I don't talk too much. I don't like my own voice. When they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are not wise. Isn't that what Scripture says? We, however, will not boast beyond proper limits, but will confine our boasting to the sphere of service God Himself has assigned to us, a sphere that includes you. And I love that, because the sphere God's given every believer starts in the house where the local church where you're at. It's us. And then, verse 15, neither do we boast beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel to the regions beyond. That's a commission to the church, the whole church. For it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. 1 Corinthians 11:1. And then I want to pray and ask God this morning. Paul says, follow my example as I follow Christ's example. How many of us want to follow Christ's example of being witnesses filled with the Holy Spirit to go and do whatever He's told us to do? I'm not putting works on you, but surely when we are walking with Christ, we want to do everything to please Him in the resurrection power of God. And I want to pray for us this morning and close the session with asking this question. If you, and this is not manipulation, honestly, but if you really say, God, I want to be that. I want to be a Christian. I don't just want to be a believer. So that I navel gaze even at myself, because I'm always looking at my own problems, you know, like me and. But I want to raise my head to where you want me to be effective. And the effectiveness is we want to get people saved. We want to get people set free. We want to see the broken come to fullness in God. We want to see salvations and everything, God. If that is you, then stand with me, because I'm standing and praying it for me, the passion of the nations and my local church. And Francis and Nadine flying on Monday. They are pastors. We submit to them. We walk with them. We obey the word of God they speak. And so you know, it's not taking away. And we'll look at the second session of the local church. But just right now, it's God, your mission. It's not a church's mission. It is a vision from heaven that we respond to, right? So I think, you know, the best is, it says, when we are yielded, we raise our hands. It actually said it in Philippians. And the psalm says, as part of our yieldedness, we just raise our hands to the King. So can we do that? This is to honor our King and the kingdom.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.